That's not a battle I want to get into.
It's episode 41 after another hiatus.
But listen to this spin zone for... Well, it can explain some of the hiatus. So in April, if you had a podcast or anywhere near a mic, you were legally obligated to talk about Game of Thrones and what you thought about it, and we didn't want to disperse our opinions.
True, we didn't want to get into those waters. So we're back on the mic, episode 41. Mark and I just saw our first ever heroin addict get kicked out of a bar. I know that sounds niche, but...
Chicago, baby!
Yo, West Side! So that's kind of how our night's going. So it should be a pretty good pod, getting back into the swing of things. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, at EarbudsCast. We got a fun episode up ahead. We have, since we've been off the mic for like a month or so, we're going to do 7 albums that we want to talk about, 7 minutes each, and kind of keep it pretty tight to get our takes off here without getting too deep into the take waters.
Yeah, a lot of big albums, some of them good, have come out recently, and we want to talk about it.
But before we get into that, let's talk about how Jay-Z is finally a billionaire.
Good for him.
Good for him? That's all you got?
I mean, that's cool. I think being a billionaire is just like gross in general, but
what's better than 1 billionaire?
2.
2.
Not True. Yet.
Well, we'll get there. It's also crazy that Rihanna is literally half that.
Already?
Yeah. She just got to 500 off of the Fenty stuff.
Damn.
But still, like, her last couple years trajectory would make you believe she's worth a lot more than $500 million.
$500 million is a lot.
It's
of
a
money.
Lot, but I would imagine she'd be close to.
Like, I also like know nothing about like Fenty and stuff. So
anyway, this is a Fenty pod now.
Yeah,
we've taken the last 30
gone
days.
A lot of places.
We've
already.
Taken the last couple of weeks to really get into the fashion industry.
This is the SEO portion of the podcast, so if you search
Fenty,
Game of
Fenty,
Thrones,
Fenty, Fenty.
Heroin, Fenty.
You search heroin. Wear heroin. Earbuds pops up in the map. But before we get into the albums, we are going to, the staple on the pod, we always start with singles of the week. Recently released singles from our favorite artists. Mark, why don't you go first?
Chicago band, and most likely mentioned at some point on the Earbuds, Whitney, a local favorite. They're back with their lead single off their upcoming album, Forever Turned Around. The single is called Giving Up, and I mean, it's more Whitney.
Is it? I haven't listened to it yet, so
there's a nice little, it's very Whitney. E is more sad Whitney than anything.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting because so the whole Light Upon a Lake is the first album.
Woman of the Lady of the Lake. It's the Rob Schneider skit from the Andy Milonakis show.
That was recorded during one of the numerous polar vortexes we've had in the past few years. And it's a very summery album. And obviously this has been recorded over a longer time, but it's releasing in the summer and it sounds like it's going to be more of a...
Wintery?
Yeah, so that's interesting.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Maybe it's just the one single, but there is a nice little, not beat switch because it's not hip-hop, but a nice little like bridge. Hip-hop has just like killed the way I like talk about music. It's like, hooks... they drop bars. It's pretty dope.
Rap
check it
tutorials.
Out. Yeah.
I have not listened to it, but Whitney is one of my favorite bands. We're going to see my Pitchfork here in about a month, so.
Can't wait.
Yeah, excited for that. My single of the week is, I'm going to forget the name of the song. Can I go back into the notes? It's Might Be Right by White Reaper, and my God, it shreds. It just is a very, very fun summer garage rock. That's
like
how I would describe
it. Introducing a little like synthy vibe to it.
Yeah. So shout out them. I really like this song. It like randomly popped up in my Discover Weekly on Spotify. Shout out that.
This is more of a just an opportunity to plug Judy French as an all-time pregame party song by
White Reaper. Yeah. Shot. Great segue, Mark, because what I really wanted to do is bring up, please follow me specifically on Spotify and follow all of my playlists, one being Rock Out to Blackouts, which is just 3 hours worth of shredder music to blackout drunk. Get yourself blackout drunk. And one of those songs is Judy French by White Reaper. And God, it fucking slaps.
That, yeah.
We'll listen to that right after the pod.
That song was just made to, like, crush, like, a couple. I was going to say a couple, that's too much. Like, half a dozen, like, light beers, too.
Yeah, half a dozen light beers, yeah, eat two hot dogs outside.
Judy French just like on repeat for an hour.
Yeah. Song slaps. So if you're into garage rock, kind of like a more intense surf rock vibe, check out that song. And that's singles of the week. And let's get into the other stuff.
The meat and potatoes.
The M&P is of the pod.
Your vinyl collection is very meat and potatoes.
Your vinyl collection is very M&P. So
that
first
was the quote section of the pod.
Yeah, quotes brought to you by genius.com. Just kidding. We're not sponsored yet, but if you want to, holler. So first album we want to talk about, let's start in 5 seconds, Mark, because that gives us an even 7 minutes of the pod. We are going to talk about
timer queued up
the too. Album. It's titled Fishing for Fishies. And it is by King Gizzard, the Lizard Wizard. That's the first album I want to talk about. It was released a couple weeks back. I'll start. I know Mark has more to say about this album, but this is the first King Gizzard album that I've listened to ever. And if you're unfamiliar with them, I don't want to say infamous, but what they're known for is being like a 10 to 12 piece band that can go across many genres. So they'll release in one year a jazz record, like punk record, a blues / like garage rock record. Like they kind of span everything. So this is my first kind of dive into those waters, and I really enjoyed it. It's a very breezy, listenable album. It's very short and consumable. I enjoyed it. So I don't really have much more to say. But like as a first dip my toes in the water of the King Gizzard Lizard Wizard band.
Yeah.
I was happy.
Yeah, I would
and
say.
And I recommend it to those of you who have also not done the KGLW.
Yeah, this is definitely the most probably one of the most accessible albums that they put out as a good jumping in point. It's also
paper notes. Do you want to play a quick sample of Boogeyman Sam?
Yeah, I'll pause the timer.
Pause the timer. Let's do a quick sample. This is the second track off of this album. Just give you a quick kind of feel for what the band is like. A crunchy ass jam, am I right?
Yeah. So just loads of harmonica all over the album. Very kind of like southern bluesy rock. The first like sec chunk of the album is like very much indebted to When the Levee Breaks. It's like a bunch of different takes on that song almost. But it is, so one of the reasons I really enjoy this album is because it's like a very environmental, like conservation driven album.
Is it?
Yeah, so the title track, the first song is like Fishing for Fishies is like an anti-fishing song.
Oh.
It's like, yeah, like just put them back at least.
I did not catch that.
Yeah, and that did you catch Plastic Boogie where they just the chorus is fuck all that plastic?
Yes, I
over
did.
Over and over again.
Yes.
So then the general like arc of the album though starts off very like jammy and breezy and light, and then like by the end there are like big synths and stuff, and the last track is called Psy Boogie, which is, I mean, read into that how you want. I take it as like running with the environmental theme, just like kind of the slow degradation of the environment into more like machinery and industrial
side
stuff.
Boogie?
Psy Boogie. C-Y Boogie.
Oh. C-Y Boogie. Okay. I did not pick up on any of that.
Active listening, Nick.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, maybe this is... I'm just not familiar with the Lizards.
Yeah, they generally do, like, include some sort of, like, at least concept or story behind their albums. I mean, so their heavy metal album, Murder of the Universe, it's bonkers concept behind it. But the environmental slant was really driven home because before Fishing for Fishies officially dropped, it dropped the Friday after Earth Day. Earth Day was that Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then they released on that Tuesday what is speculated to be the single for their next album, which hasn't been officially announced, but they were promoting their next album before their current album came out, and the single was a thrash metal, so new genre for them, thrash metal song called Planet B, where they just kept saying, they keep going, there's no Planet B, and the music video is very dark, and involves all of them dying. So okay. Really, like, so at that point, I had listened to that song a few days before, so it was, that's part of it, is, like, going into the album then with, like, that in mind is very much, it's a lot easier to pick out, like, the conservation themes.
I'm gonna have to re-listen to this and try to pick up more on that. I will say that I did pick up on the song that stuck out to me, and this is totally biased because we are millennials, is The Cruel Millennial. So the song, I think,
yeah,
it's 4 or 5.
So that's one that I couldn't quite get the read on.
I couldn't either, because the song, I can't tell if it's
ironic or not.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out the tone of the song, and if it's supposed to be making fun of us, or if it's like, these guys never had a chance, sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it's also kind of the vibe of, which I've like complained about before on the pod, they're like, oh, I'm born in like the wrong generation. It's kind of that, but like, I don't know if they're saying it ironically. And,
yeah,
like,
I don't know.
That one, a jam to be sure, but I had trouble parsing that one.
That's the one song that got me kind of thinking, but I'll have to go back and re-listen to the album and consume the eco-friendliness. What else you got?
I think we're going to be ahead of schedule.
Right on time?
Yeah.
No, you have 50 seconds to talk.
I will say...
47.
So with it being the most accessible, like we mentioned earlier, it's also not necessarily like the most daring or adventurous King Gizzard album. It's like pretty straightforward blues rock.
But it slams. Like, it's good.
It's very listenable and enjoyable. Great summer album. Going into their other albums, it's a little more adventurous and exciting. So
yeah, I mean, it's 9 songs. Yeah. It's like maybe 35 minutes, 38, 40 minutes.
Oh yeah, it's brisk. It goes
really solid. If you've listened to the pod for many moons, you would know Mark's biggest criticism of any album is being longer than like 57 minutes.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Oh, we did it.
Oh, all right. Time to move on. Mark hit that timer. We'll start another 7 minutes. We're done with King Gizzard, and we're moving on to our second album, Dedicated by Carly Rae Jepsen. So Pop Queen is back. CRJ, our Canadian hero, has released her fourth studio album. I think it's her fourth album, titled Dedicated. It's her first album in 4 years, which is kind of crazy. I feel like she's been in everyone's brains since, like, I mean, this is going to be a take just for you and I, because we are in the same class, but, like, freshman year with Call Me Maybe. So, like, at least since, like, you know, the last decade, Carly Rae Jepsen has been in our stratosphere for that song.
And she's been, like, ever since that song, is, like, just trying to reclaim. It's like, I'm more than that, which I think she's done a good job of.
She's done an amazing job. And if you haven't listened to her 2015 album titled Emotion, I highly recommend it. I personally think it's one of the best pop albums of, like, the 2010s. Yeah. It's very, very, very good. And I don't think people give her nearly enough credit for breaking the mold, breaking out of the Call Me Maybe thing.
Yeah. I think so. Carly Rae Jepsen is the Robert Pattinson / Kristen Stewart of pop music.
How so?
Say they were in Twilight and are still just, like, known for being in Twilight. They have done very successful, like, indie movies and are, like, talented at acting in their own right.
Okay.
That's my take.
I buy into that.
Yeah.
I think that Carly Rae fans can be kind of annoying because they have the take that Mark and I just did where they, like, kind of hammer it home. Like, she's more than that song.
Oh, but, yeah.
Like, so, she legitimately is. And I, this album is just another, it's another notch on the, like, pop star belt. And she does not, she's not Billie Eilish. She's not going to be a top Billboard chart artist. I think this album debuted at 18.
Really? That's surprising.
How high that is?
Low.
Yeah, it debuted at 18 on the Billboard charts. But it's very good. She hones in on heartbreak and love and just, like, general teen themes. I don't think she does anything necessarily, like, unconventional or kind of how you mentioned earlier with King Gizzard, like, daring, but, like, she sticks to her shit and she's really good at it. And, like, we're going to get into this later on one of the other albums we're going to talk about, but, like, when an artist takes 4 years off, there's a certain expectation coming back that, like, of what you want it to be and, like, whether or not that's fair or unfair, right? Like, like, those artists should be allowed to take time off, especially if Mitski has been getting shit because, like, people were like, oh, she's retiring. It's like, no, she's been touring for 6 years and she wants, like, a couple months to hang out.
Like, I mean, I'm guilty of this, but.
We're all guilty of it.
Just because, like, they haven't released an album in however long doesn't mean they've been working on it the entire time.
Right.
Like, they probably took, like, a year off if, you know, it's, like, that big of a hiatus. Probably a year where they didn't do anything. And they, like, maybe looking for inspiration and didn't start the album until, like, a little later.
Something struck them. Like, you know, especially as a... I'm going to say it. But, like, as a pop star... I don't think you're the most like boundary pushing artist usually, you know? Like, you're not, like, you're not doing a conceptual album about, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Andy Warhol in seven songs and then, like, everything's going to have this, like, weird poetry slam in between. You know, like, you're making songs about heartbreak and you're making songs about, like, summer love that relate to, like, people that are 16 years old. That's pretty much, like, what this is. But she, like, she still slams it. And I think one of the most interesting things about Carly Rae Jepsen is that she's, like, reached this pinnacle at a much later stage than other pop stars. Like, she's 30. I think she's 29. But, like, most people that are this popular or release pop music like this are, like, 18.
Yeah.
Like, there are people, like, literally living that thing, and they write about it. Like, Taylor Swift, she became popular, was, like, living that life. Billie Eilish, living that life.
Carly Rae was living that life when she did Call Me Maybe.
Yeah, and I... right, but I don't think she's necessarily, like...
Yeah, it's
a very, you know, she's 30 now, so it's like, yeah, like, we're 27, 28 years old. Like, I don't know if I feel the same way about that I did 10 years ago, but like, her songs are still very, very in tune with like that hopeful feeling of like summer love, like summer.
Party of One is the definite summer love song.
Oh, it is. Party of One is, Party of One is so good. Sorry, I took that.
No, you're good.
What do you have to say about CRJ? But in general, like, I'll give this to you in a second. The album is very good. I don't think there's any one particular song that we need to highlight. It's just like a good pop record. It's a good pop record.
I ceded the floor to you because, my notes are solid pop album, exclamation mark. Very enjoyable. Added a bunch to my summer playlist.
Okay. How much time we got? Where are we at?
Oh, we've got a minute left.
A minute?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell a quick story then about how I'm... So, my boy and I, PJ, we're going to go see Carly Rae in about a month at the Chicago Theater, and I've never seen her live, but I did try to one time. She was doing a free show in Chicago.
Oh, I also tried.
Yeah, you were there? Yeah. We were doing... She was doing a free show in Chicago at a really small venue in Wicker Park, and it was sponsored by M&M's, which was very fucked up and weird, but whatever. But if you got in line and just waited in line, you would get in. We showed up relatively early for, like, working people, you know? Like, we got there at, like, 5:30, you know? Like, we got out of work and we got in line. We were the last fucking group that they cut off.
Yeah.
They're like, how many interested in your group? We're like, oh, six.
Never a good feeling.
Sorry, you can't come in. It was like, oh, fuck you guys. Everyone else in front of us. We was wrapped around the corner. It was like this tiny, maybe 1,000-person venue. It would have been awesome. But didn't get to see a CRJ. But I'm going in 2-3 weeks.
Forgotten about that experience.
I'm very excited to see her because that moment still is like stuck in my brain.
I saw...
And that's our CRJ segment.
She was at Pitchfork once.
She was.
And I saw Mick Jenkins instead, which I still like. Don't necessarily hate that decision, but he's in Chicago, like, way more. So, but you live and you learn.
You live and you learn. All right, album number 3 on the 7 and 7, not sponsored by Seagram's.
Play that Kenny Beats producer tag.
Ooh, Kenny, Kenny. We're gonna talk about Rico Nasty. She's the 22-year-old rapper from New York. Quick rise to popularity. She is one of the hottest hip hop artists for sure. She dropped a collaboration album with Kenny Beats earlier this year. It's titled Anger Management, and we're gonna talk about it.
Dude, it rocks. It's a just like, whew. It's like 19 minutes. Like
it's 18 minutes. Which is very, I mean, it's a word we throw around all the time, like consumable, but I think it's very relevant to, like, we're not a podcast that talks about, like, a bunch of intense, like, artistic buzzwords, you know? It's like, this album you can listen to, like, whatever. But, yeah, it's her collaboration with Kenny Beats. He created all the beats on this. If you're not familiar with him, like, he's collabed with...
He produced FM.
He produced FM.
Is like the most prominent, but he's popped up.
He's done Freddie Gibbs. He's
quite
done
often. Yeah,
a couple other Rico Nasty.
I didn't realize that.
Kenny?
No, on Freddie the EP, like that tag. I was like, what are they saying? And I didn't realize it's like Kenny Beats' tag because that doesn't come up on FM at all.
No,
it doesn't. Yeah, some of my like favorite beats of the last 2 years
are on this, or Kenny in general.
Just in general,
yeah.
Which so
well, he's a. I mean, side note, we're gonna talk about Rico Nasty because like she deserves the credit for us talking about her. But look up Kenny Beats, his like
probably top 5 current producer.
Yeah, like he's one of the hottest rising producers. He was a dude that was just basically an EDM DJ, and he was like, "Fuck this, I'm gonna go make hip hop beats because that's what I want to do." And is like one of the most progressive and like interesting hip hop producers currently, and you're gonna hear a lot more from him, which is very, very cool. But yeah, so he produced this entire thing. Her album last year, Nasty, her debut studio album, was definitely one of the top hip hop albums of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like she, I think she's she was born in New York, is from Maryland.
Yeah.
She's had a pretty quick rise to quotations fame.
Where she is now.
She's not a household name by any means, but she's definitely rising up the power rankings of like people that listen to music all the time. So this is a very cool kind of inflection point for her career. So what do you think?
So
initial reactions, if you will.
So like the Kenny Beats production, and Bauer is featured
twice,
and like those are like probably the craziest songs that like production wise on here. And like some of the beats are just like insane, and she just like rips into them and like kills them. It's like a very like confident, like brash, angry delivery, and like the lyrics are like at times like laugh out loud funny. It's great.
They're laugh out loud funny, and I'm gonna say this. I think this is gonna be we can't go over 7 minutes, but this might be a take that like we're gonna get into.
Yeah,
is like. This was a lot.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think it's for me.
That's fair. I
like I can
100% understand.
I can recognize that like it's a little transcendent in like the collaboration, what she's doing specifically. It's cool.
Yeah.
But like I listened to this whole thing probably 4 or 5 times, and every time I'm like, I just don't.
It's a lot.
I don't know. I don't like it.
There's
maybe I don't know if it's just me, but I don't like it.
That's fair. I mean,
Big Titties is a funny song.
I'm not gonna fault you for that. Yeah.
Well, let's play a quick beat. Let's do Cheat Code real quick.
Okay.
So people kind of get a glimpse from maybe what we're talking about. Pause the timer. We're gonna play a quick snippet of a song so you kind of know what we're talking about. This is Cheat Code by Rico Nasty. That's Cheat Code.
Yeah, so big Kenny Beats.
Big Kenny Beats.
Big Rico Nasty. I think 20 minutes for this project is perfect. Because it does, by the end, like, well, unless it doesn't stick at all for you. I enjoyed it, but even by, like, 20 minutes, I'm like, whew, all right.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. And
even though I think it's good, I just don't like it.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Towards the end, it does slow down a little bit because it's supposed to be the anger management idea is that like it starts off really angry and then you calm down a little bit, but it's still like pretty abrasive.
It's very abrasive. This reminded me a lot of. Big Fish Theory a little bit.
Okay.
A version of Big Fish Theory that I didn't technically like. But like it reminded me of the Vince Staples album because there are a couple like twings or I don't know, twangs or whatever the fuck you want to call it, like in the beat production itself that's like it's like pingy sounding. You okay. know, it's like it's hard to explain, but the way they do it's it like in Big Fish Theory, I like a lot.
Like the drum kit.
Yeah, it's like it's like ping, ping, and like that's how they like start the movement. And like for this, it just like I did not like it. It reminded me of that a lot, and I would like to get your take on that. Like, did this remind you of anything in particular, or how did you consume this?
I mean, it didn't remind me of Big Fish Theory, but I, like. I consumed it just being like, this is an album that I'm going to enjoy and, like, recommend to one or two people.
Okay. Like, I think this would be very fun blacked out or at a music festival, which we're going to see her in a month at Pitchfork. So it's shout out this set. A
fun show.
Because it's going to be, like, 2:30 in the afternoon, and it's going to be, like, loud as fuck.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. My girlfriend's going to hate it. It's not that she's not going to like it. She's just going to hate it.
There'll be something on the other stage.
True.
I don't, like, I mean, there's obviously... Nope.
All right, get your last sentence off.
Nope. I was going to say, I'm sure there are music comps that I'm whiffing on, but none are coming to me. So, on we go to...
Album 4.
Father of the Bride by Vampire Weekend.
Also, this is just a movie podcast now, and we are going to talk about the movie Father of the Bride.
What movie is that?
You ever seen Father of the Bride?
I have not seen that particular film. Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, what do you think it is?
Father
of the Bride, the movie.
Can I get
If you're not familiar with the drinking game, we're playing it right now.
Can I get a... This is good content. Can I get a year and stars?
Yes. While I'm looking it up, you describe the rules.
So I'm going to guess a Rotten Tomatoes score for this movie.
Critic score.
Critic score. And for every 5% that I am off, I have to take a drink. If I'm within 5%, Nick takes a drink. If I nail it directly, he takes a lot of drinks.
Stars include Steve Martin, Diane Keaton, Martin Short.
This is in, like, the 80s then,
It is 1991.
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna give this a nice, hearty 92.
70.
Oof. All right.
So which isn't bad, but you're 22 five off. Drinks. So that's 5 drinks. Do them quick.
Yep.
And I'll intro us into this next part of the pod. We're going to talk about the 4th studio album from Vampire Weekend, titled Father of the Bride. It's their first project in 6 years. This is what I alluded to earlier, like when you have kind of an expectation of a band that you have come to kind of grow up with and you know, and they take many years off. It's a different feeling when they release an album. It's not the same as like you grow up with an artist who releases every 2 years consistently.
Yeah.
You know, you got it through middle school, you got it through high school, you got like another album in college, like you got one when you first graduated. Yeah. Like that's different than like an artist who like literally took 6 years.
And they had released like a bunch of singles for this album.
Yeah.
By the time that Sunflower came out, I was like fiending for it.
Yeah. So
expectations were high.
Let's get into that. I guess, what were your expectations? Can you describe that a little bit? And like, how did your first listen go?
Because
it's a double album. It's about 60 minutes.
Pretty high expectations. Yeah. First listen, I really liked the album. First listen, I was kind of like, oh, this Vampire Weekend album. Okay. It has this weird feel where it feels like a kind of like a jam band album without having any jam songs. Does that make sense? Like the longest.
It's a jam band that just has two people.
Yeah, the longest song is like maybe 5 minutes. But a lot of them, like Sunflower, is like, that's like so indebted to the Grateful Dead. And it's like a 2 minute song, though. But that's not a complaint. It's just like an observation. I really like the album.
Yeah, my takes are similar. I think what's interesting about this album is it feels like a band that, They proved their point and were happy with what they did on the indie scale and just kind of wanted to make a fun album.
Yeah, and they were also like, yeah, we'll have Danielle Hyman too.
Yeah, like the thing you come to know and love about Vampire Weekend is it's like Harvard graduate style wit into this like politically active and like very culturally aware indie band. So like when they make 2.5 minute songs, they're like jam packed with like stuff. And whether or not you like hear it, like get well, it or hear it, so it like does, it's there. But this album to me, like it doesn't have any of that. It's just like it is a consumable thing. It's just so, like it is there. But so maybe I think
I agree with most everything you said, but there's so cause they like especially on Modern Vampires of the City, it like that exemplifies that it's like the songs aren't dense because they're still like light and listenable, but Ezra Koenig writes these lyrics that are you can still hear them, and like if you just want like fun pop songs, you can go on your way. But also at the same time, if you put a little bit of thought into it, it's like, oh, these songs do have meaning and depth. Where it's not, it's a little different than this balance where we talk about where it's like, oh, they're fun pop songs, but the lyrics are like pretty explicitly like activist or something. It's like, there you have to dig a little for it. And I think you have to.
Yeah, I think that's what's very, that's what makes them so talented.
And I do think there is a lot of stuff on this album, but you have to dig a little more because it is like very. A lot, like, to your point, though, because it is, like, them just kind of enjoying, like, yeah, we kind of made it.
Like, yeah, like, I think they got...
Like, they get to take our time to put out an album, and...
They got off what they wanted to.
Yeah.
And, like, by all means, like, do what you want. Like, Ezra Koenig has started to develop shows for Netflix. He's been writing.
Yeah.
Like, their main collaborator has broken off from the band to like do projects for Charlie XCX and Carly Rae Jepsen and like other pop artists. Like they're not necessarily the same group.
Yeah.
But they still sound the same.
Yes. And it
sounds good. It's different, good. But it's good.
I really like this album.
One thing that really got me, and I would like to hear your point of view on this, is like the first song or two are kind of like country-ish.
Yeah,
or like, I don't know.
I saw
what
it described as a, and I didn't want to Google it because I was like, that seems like a very good descriptor without me necessarily knowing the exact meaning of it. Pastoral.
Yeah, yeah. The first song, Hold You Now with Daniel Heim, is like very like,
yeah.
There's like a children's choir at the end. It sounds like almost a Christmas song.
Yes. So going,
it was just my feel.
I didn't get the Christmas vibe, but
the end was like, I don't know.
Like, there's a lot of like weird harmonies.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, like okay, like this is a weird intro into this album.
Yeah,
but okay.
The buzzer is gonna go off.
Damn.
But
all right, we'll get your takes off.
So, just as a kind of call to action to end this one.
I can't believe that was a quick 7 minutes.
Yeah. So this was one of the two albums where I was like, this 7 minutes is probably a disservice in the discussion, but we'll be talking about it in December.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, I really like it.
We'll get you, do another like a minute and a half.
No,
we
I'm
get
just,
90
I'm
seconds
just gonna do,
to be
yeah. So jumping back to the balance of like the lyrics and like the themes and depths that are packed therein. Did you Sympathy, the like flamenco sounding song?
Yeah, very cool.
Did anything like jump out?
No.
Okay. Go take a stroll down the Genius page on that because it's fantastically written and like, incredibly like good and wholehearted message. And because there was one specific line in it that jumped out to me when I was listening to it. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure I took the line the right way. But even if I did, I'm not sure the rest of the song is about this. But it is. And very good. I would suggest everybody.
Okay, I'm not going to look it up now because I want to listen to it and see if I can find the same thread.
Yeah.
Sympathy? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
It's a good song.
Really? So this is going to be a December potential.
I really like it.
Which, if you're new to the pod, we do a big, big time end of the year pod.
Yeah, it's probably like an hour too long every year.
It's definitely an hour too long every year, but it's fun as shit.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Support your small local pods. where we do our
local.
listen local. That's our new tagline. Listen local. It's only a 3 mile radius from where we live. But no, we're gonna do a big pot at the end of the year always. It's kind of like our end of the year celebration. But Vampire Weekend, really, I wouldn't have guessed that for you this year, at least so far.
Yeah.
There also hasn't been that many good albums yet.
I think I could throw together a quick 10 that I'm like pretty happy with.
But it wouldn't be nearly as good as last year or the year before.
Well, we're only halfway through the year.
True. True. All right.
Bandana hasn't come out yet.
Bandana has not come out. It's a Freddy, baby. All right. Start that clock, Mark. We're on to the fifth album here. Five of seven.
We are going to start the clock.
Start the clock in 3, 2. It's already started. We're gonna talk about Schoolboy Q.
We are talking
about Schoolboy Q. His fifth studio album was released earlier this year, earlier this month. Not earlier this month, it's already June. It was released in May. Titled Crash Talk. Follow-up to his album in 2016 titled Blank Face, which was a huge, big fans of Blank Face.
Yeah.
So, Mark, what did you think? I want to do initial reactions first because I actually think we're going to have more to say about this album than we originally thought we were.
I think it's unfortunate that we were just talking about the top 10 episode because I think this is my biggest disappointment of the year, like by a large margin so far.
Yes. Yes. I wish I would have pulled up the quote.
We should pull back the audio when we were talking about Chopsticks because we saw it coming and we were just telling ourselves that the album is gonna be fine.
That song sucks dicks. And I think you and I are both like, nah, it was just a single, they wanted Travis Scott on it, they just wanted streams, it's not gonna be like that. It's like when you have a cheating ex and they tell you like I'm gonna be different. It's like, okay, I believe you. No, that song sucks dicks. I would agree with you, is one of the most disappointing so far I've listened to this year. And I wanna, this is very depressing to say, but I wonder how much of this is impacted by Mac Miller's death in passing, because he seemed, of all the artists that were impacted by his passing, he was the most visibly shook on the internet by it. Like, he gained weight. He like ended shows early. He stopped like talking to people. He was like legitimately like in a depressive state because of Mac Miller.
Yeah, that's,
and I wonder.
That's
I,
not something I want to speculate too much.
No,
on.
No, but like, I don't. That's not fair.
It's because there isn't necessarily a definitive like sad vibe over the album or anything. It's just kind of like,
no, but I wonder if he like had like ideas already in his mind and he just like couldn't execute them.
I don't know,
because his brain was just like somewhere else.
There's not like too much I want to venture out on that topic, to be honest.
That's fine,
but yeah,
let's move elsewhere.
So
that was my take on it.
But you had mentioned the Chopsticks with Travis Scott. There's a couple of
Chopsticks. Chopsticks.
There's like Ty Dolla Sign on here.
Ty's on
Black here. On here.
Black is on here.
All those pop hooks are bad and just fall like so flat, and they're all like almost back to back in the first half, and it's just you listen to the first half and you're like, what is going on here?
This is going to be a very niche comment for people that have just seen Entourage and remember this specific thing. But
our audience, all 12 of them.
Yeah, all 12 of them. Sup, guys? Thanks for listening and downloading. Please rate and review.
Listen local.
Listen local. There's a part in Entourage where the guys are like concerned that Vince is not as good of an actor as he actually is, and a review is going to come out that's going to be like bad for his career. And the comment in the review is like, he looks, Vince looks tired, and I wish someone would just like let him go to bed. And like, when I was listening to this, I just felt like it seemed tired.
Yeah.
It seemed like not fully baked out. Like, I just wish that he would not have.
There's nothing on here that like.
He seems
like,
tired.
There's
like
nothing,
exhausted
yeah.
from doing the work.
There, so there are some.
And I get
there
it.
Are some high points. Like the Black Folk is like genuinely good songwriting.
Yeah.
The beat on 5200 is awesome. I liked the 21 Savage song. I liked Die With Him. I thought like the second half was a lot better and like closer to what I want from a Schoolboy Q album. But those are still like B sides on a good Schoolboy Q album.
Well, we've had like three in a row. We've had three very good
yeah.
Schoolboy albums.
There's just it lacks like there. It doesn't like and have that like character that.
There's like, no character.
There's it's. Yeah, there's nothing that, like, is coming close to, like, that part or, like, Man of the Year and,
Collard
like,
Greens.
Collard, yeah. Like, there's no song that you're just like, oh, my God, I'm going to be listening to this for, like, years.
I mean, Oxymoron was an incredible album.
Yeah.
Blank Face, very good album. Habits and Contradictions, pretty good. It's like, he was, like, two for three. And the run
dude,
that...
Dude, even Habits and Contradictions has
bangers.
Hands on the Wheel.
Yeah, bangers.
Which is like...
One of his better
all-time
songs.
All-time song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And TDE, his label, has been on a run.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, there was an expectation for this album that just like fell super short for me. And you wrapped it up perfectly in the initial statement that you said that was like, this is the most disappointing I've heard so far.
Yeah. And
which sucks.
Because
I love Schoolboy Q. I think he's
yeah,
very good.
I think his like album releases are always like super fun, and this just like I was like
it just fell this, flat and yeah. felt a little tired, and it's too bad. But I mean, should we highlight any of the? You did highlight a couple of the wins, I guess. I don't want to like totally drag this guy. I
no,
like Schoolboy.
Yeah. I mean, I was out last weekend and Water was playing and I was like, nodding my head, I was like, oh, this is like solid. And like...
How many streams do you think that has? Let's play the game. If you're within 500,000, I drink.
Oh, so it's... Wait, I shouldn't...
Look you can't it. Look That's it up.
Cheating. I didn't see... I'll say 5 mil.
6.9.
Water? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Do you have anything else you want to say about this? I'm sad as well. All right, now is our Schoolboy Q segment. We're 5 for 7 so far. We're moving on to number 6. We're going to talk about injury reserve. We're going to talk about injury reserve, album title, injury reserve. We're going to play a quick intro to kind of get a feel for the album. This is Jailbreak the Tesla.
Fuck it, jailbreak the Tesla. Ninth grade, yeah, prom days, yo. Raised by the internet, final stage, yo. We could do anything by the age, yo. Dick could start, there was too cool for MySpace, yo. Had the iPod touch with the red snow. City up, but you could pirate all the apps, though. They were hacked security cams by the back doors. Nigga, this was LimeWire on crack, though. The touch was anything you could've asked for. Jailbreaking the 80 was hot shit, yeah. What if you could do the same for the whip, yeah? Turn the X into a Batmobile whip, yeah. I can't wait till a nigga get the stunt in. Get a Tesla, take it to West Coast cuts. I'm just trying to touch screen to iOS for fun. Then make the autopilot do a donut go dumb, man. Tell that nigga Elon, I'm sorry. Tell my mom to take the pictures and adjust it. Pull up doors up at the party. Like I didn't cop the shit for nothing. Niggas can't pull up in a Rari. But all you can change paint and some fuck shit. And you gotta try that shit, that ain't fun, man. Need some shit I can hack like fuck it.
Alright, that was a sample from Jailbreak the Tesla from Injury Reserve. They're a rap trio from Arizona. Arizona's the new Hawaii. That's their new thing.
Yeah.
Alright. Yeah, they're dope. They're definitely like an internet rap group. They're part of this like new, I wouldn't even call it new wave, but it's like a, you know, the last couple years been like a very heavy DIY rap.
Yeah.
Maybe is the new term to call it. But this reminded me a lot of Brockhampton. It's like experimental for the sake of experimenting, but all of it still feels listenable. Because sometimes when you get like, if you get too far down the rabbit hole of like, I want to try this sample and that sample and this hook and melodies sample, whatever, collaboration,
yeah.
collection. You're like, ah, that sounds like shit. Like, we shouldn't have done that. But like, sometimes people put that on the album anyway because it's like, we're experimenting. This felt like experimenting, but like, still good. It was still good music.
Yes. So I don't know if we haven't talked about one of their projects before.
We have not talked about
them. We've definitely talked about them.
We've mentioned before. Them, yeah. But not in a, like, we haven't.
So this is, yeah.
We've never given the listeners what they
are. Yeah. It's like their debut studio album. They've had like multiple mixtapes, I guess you would call them then.
Two
before
mixtapes.
This that are like relatively focused in on a sound. And the sound differs between the mixtapes.
Yes.
Their
first mixtape was titled Live from the Dentist's Office, which was like literally recorded in one of their dad's dentist's office.
Yeah, it's very like laid back kind of like
jazz rap.
Second Floss then is like very much like in your face, like braggadocious, more like experimental beats and stuff, which I kind of like leaned more towards. This is, it seemed like they kind of tried to mix the two while also like pushing the sound in different directions at the same time. And I think it kind of loses track throughout the album, but I still liked it.
I agree with you. I think they kind of lose focus a little bit throughout. However, it's still very good. I think my biggest, it's not even a complaint, but like criticism of them on this album is that they're overshadowed by the features.
Yes.
So like the trio themselves are very talented musically and like putting together the samples, the way the hook should be sung or rapped, the melodies, sonically it's very forward and is good. It's very, very, very good. But the actual technicalities of rapping, like I don't like it doesn't really do a lot for me.
Yeah.
And like the best parts of every song are like when Freddie Gibbs comes on, Rico Nasty comes on, Aminé comes on. Like the best parts of every song are like when they're not rapping.
Yeah. So I think it's like you read my notes. So I would say Parker Corey, who is the producer, because Injury Reserve is a trio of Groggs, Richie, and Parker Corey, who's the producer. I'd say he's easily the MVP of the album.
Yes.
Because there's, even though it is kind of less cohesive than like a kind of statement debut album should be, there are like very cool moments and like very cool beats, and he really just like, it's like a big flex. And then the runners up are Freddie Gibbs, Aminé, Rico Nasty, like you said, and. Like, okay, a Freddie Gibbs feature is awesome, and I'm very glad that you included it, but he just, that's just like...
He eviscerates you.
Yeah.
Like, he makes you...
Nothing on the album is, like, close to that.
And Aminé. Aminé is very good. Rico Nasty, very good.
So, I...
She was better on this song than her entire album.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, I mean, you nailed, like, the hooks are good. It's just, like... And the verses aren't bad. They're just kind of forgettable.
Yeah, they're just they're verses.
I think I had written down the strongest pair of like a Richie and Groggs verse is on Gravy and Biscuits.
Yeah,
where there's no feature and they do like kind of like a brief back and forth, and they're allowed to breathe and it. It sounds good, and they both kind of do fun stuff with it. Otherwise, there's, like, none of their verses stand out too much to me. I will say Three Man Weave, the closer, is fantastic. That mainly comes from, it's like this extended hook that they do, though, that...
Yeah. So the way I was thinking about this, in like a... They get overshadowed on this record, specifically from the other rappers. But if they were like this internet raps generation, if they were this generation's version of nerd.
Okay.
Where like they kind of like they deliver the platform for other artists to come on and kind of like experiment.
Yeah.
That would be cool. You know, like I don't need them. I don't need Injury Reserve to give me like this. I don't know, like I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? It would be cool for them to keep delivering this, like, all right, we're going to deliver, like, kind of this alt album that's, like, way the fuck over here.
Yeah.
But we're going to invite, you know, these eight rappers to be on the album. That'd be cool. Like, I don't know if that's the way they're going to go. Like, they just signed to a record label. I imagine the label is going to want them to produce an album on their own with, like, little to no features. To kind of like sell some shit, get off the legs a little bit.
Also, speaking of the features, complete opposite of what we're saying so far. JPEG Mafia just on the hook is not fair. Like I saw the track list before, and it's what the song's called, like "Get the Fuck Up."
Yeah.
With JPEG Mafia, and I was like, oh, this is gonna just like go. And not good.
That song is the stinker of the album.
It really like gets out over its skis trying to do what it's doing.
Yeah, that song is probably the worst.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is. Again, like, I think they're very talented. I'm interested to see what they do moving forward. They have the backing of a indie rock label, so they don't have a lot of rap artists on their label, so maybe they'll get some backing that they normally wouldn't, because like they want to get into a new genre. I don't know, but I think it'll be interesting to follow them. They're very talented. They're talented. I just don't know if they're the best technical rappers for what they're trying to accomplish. So when they invite other very good rappers to perform on the songs, it shows some voids, because like The Aminé verse about Elon Musk is like, so fucking good.
Yeah,
and like he's and I wouldn't consider him like the best, like technical rapper.
Right.
Like he's fun.
Just like fun. He's having fun with it, and
but he that maybe like even he shows them up. So that, like, okay, right, like I want something else from these guys.
There's so Schoolboy Q-Lax character. This is what we're saying.
Yes.
Because there is the...
Well over the 7 minutes on this.
That's fine. We're having a good discussion. Floss, it was fun. That's a fun album. There's a song called Bad Boys 3. It's fun. This is... Maybe they it was their major label like album. And they like got a little in their heads. I don't know.
Yeah, potentially, and I don't think I think that's a totally reasonable thing that could happen. Yeah.
Because I know that they have fun verses like in their discography.
Yeah, but like I want them to be corny and fun. I don't want them to like have to do this.
Yeah.
Whatever they are trying to do, like I enjoyed it because Rico Nasty, Aminé, and Freddie Gibbs were on this album, but I didn't enjoy it necessarily for what they did. But they are talented, so shout out Injury Reserve. We've been following them for a while, so check them out. They're about to go on tour. Would definitely recommend seeing them when they're live.
Yeah.
For sure. So that's 6 of 7, Mark. We got one left. Our special prince, Tyler, the creator. Before we get into Tyler's sixth album, why don't we play a little snippet? Yeah, let's do a quick snippet. This is a sample from his song. I was gonna fuck up the name of the song. A Boy Is a Gun. Stunning.
This Parker is calm. You're my favorite garçon. Don't leave, stay right here. Yeah, I want you right near. You invited me to breakfast. Why the fuck your ex here? Well, let's see if you round the god around this time next year.
Well, that was a quick snippet of A Boy Is a Gun from Tyler, the Creator's sixth album. Igor, as Mark corrected me earlier tonight. I thought it was Igor.
I did it specifically off the pod.
So off the pod, yeah. It was off the pod content. This is coming to you exclusive.
It was your Patreon content.
Yeah, Patreon.
5 second clip of Donate. Mark saying, actually, it's pronounced Igor. I haven't started the timer yet.
Donate
so.
To Nick-Rogers-7 at Venmo. You know, just shoot me a buck or two. It goes a long way. Mark and I have to pay for these samples.
Yeah.
Anyway, Igor, let's talk
about
it.
Beer we're drinking is not free.
Drinking beer is not free. It never has been, never will be. Let's talk about Igor. This is Tyler the Creator's follow-up to Flower Boy. Another step in the, quote-unquote, you can't see this, but emotive state of Tyler. Let's do first takes, initial reactions first.
Do you want to read my first line of notes there?
Yeah, your first line of notes. Oh, another big step. the literal note is another big step for Tyler. Yeah, so my biggest takeaway from this is very much another progression into a mature artist. Because what we have grown to know about Tyler from his first couple of records with Odd Future and as a solo artist is they were abrasive and they were vulgar as shit. They're good, but they're a lot. Yeah. They're a lot to handle. And Flower Boy and this were very...
pleasant.
Emotional. Yeah. They're pleasant. They were about something more than just like fucking bitches. Like you know what I mean?
So
like
I think step is an important word because it's not him it's him trying a different sound, but it's not him going okay, like I topped that, like I'm just gonna pivot to something completely different. There are sounds on Igor that you can trace back to Flower Boy.
Oh, yes.
There's like ideas and specific tones and sounds that are straight off of Flower Boy.
Smash the mic with my computer. Yeah.
So it does feel like a progression. And it's I listening to Igor for the first time was like musically one of the most exciting moments of this year, I think, because it's like about it a song in, I was like, oh my god, he's doing it again. And the production is just like so good and so intricate and like layered and thought out. You don't know, especially on the first listen, you don't know where the songs are going because they're not loops. Throughout the song, he's layering and switching things around and like moving different directions just in the production. Not to say all the guest vocals coming in and out and how his voice is being pitched.
Some of the songs just like start out in the middle of the hook, or they start out in the middle of the melody.
Yeah.
They don't have a natural progression like a regular song does. So some of these you're like. You start out in the middle.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And it's a very cool step for him.
Yeah. I was like, the first time listening to it in my car, I was like stupid excited. I was like, All right, let's go.
So, this is, we're gonna go way over 7 minutes on this. What do you think has sparked his progression towards this like more emotive artist?
That's a hell of a prompt.
If anything, and it might not be anything, it might just be him maturing. Cause like, you know, he was part of Odd Future at like what, 16, 17 yeah, years old.
I think
he was just like a vulgar, shitty teenager. And now he's like a 23, 24 year old dude who's like had heartbreak. He's had love. He's like experienced stuff. Like, probably, what is it?
Probably that's my best guess is, the talent was always there. It was, I mean, he's always had like a clear, not clear, but like, there's flashes of artistic vision. Like, you look at the Yonkers video, as like unsettling as it is, it's like striking. And it's just, yeah, him getting like a little older, getting some more life experiences under the belt, and being like, yeah, maybe I'll make some more enjoyable like music and visuals besides like Earl and I throwing stuff into a blender and like whatever happens after that in the video.
Yeah, and I think that worked for internet culture. You know, like that, like them and Frank.
Yeah.
Even just kind of like throwing shit against the wall and like, let's make a video. Like, they are really popular. Still are really popular. But like this, the last 2 years of Tyler has been very intriguing to me, just because like he's like very obviously a dude who's like now has dealt with some kind of heartbreak. No one knows what it is. No one knows why it happened. But like something has happened that's made him way more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Than he's ever has been before.
So that's a good point, because,
and it's like unleashed this artistic ability to like to display that on song.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there he's done a lot of kind of like the like Bastard and Goblin and like Wolf Run. There was always like conceptual stuff, and it was like really hard to follow, and there's all sorts of fan theories and stuff. And then like this album is just like, oh yeah, it's like a guy falling in and out of love. And that, and it's like, if you were like, yeah, like Tyler the Creator is gonna give you that album, I was like, oh, that's like a weird development. But
so I want to make a statement, then I'm gonna do another question here. I think so. Part of that I think has to do with him dealing with his own sexuality.
Uh huh.
And when he was younger, was not aware of his own state, if you will.
Sure.
So it's harder to portray those things in like a clear way. And now he's like able to do so. He's like very comfortable.
Yeah.
Like he like is what he is. Second, I want to ask you, it's like, where do you think he goes from here? Because like we've had like vulgar as shit Tyler, who like makes fun of gay people. Who is like now like very open about being bi. I think you can like very clearly on this album, if anything was left open to interpretation on Flower Boy, this album hammers it home that he's like definitely an open.
Yeah.
It's like, where does he go?
I don't know.
Sound or like person, like,
I don't.
Because I have a take, and I want, not a take, but I want to.
I don't. Like, yeah. I mean, how do I phrase this? I don't think. I think his music, his evolution in like music making has probably been influenced and inspired by him kind of coming to terms with that. But I don't think it's been defined by it.
No, I don't think so either.
So you could have asked the same, because I'm in the group that after Flower Boy, it's pretty clear that he's saying like, I'm bisexual or gay, or, you know, and so you could have asked the same question. It's like, where does he go from here? And I never would have guessed
this.
So All right, I'm just not, like, my answer is, like, I'm gonna trust that now that he's got, like, two very, just, like, kind of groundbreaking albums, like, in a row, that, like, I'll ride with it. He's gonna do something good.
He's gonna, I trust him. Yeah. Wholeheartedly to do something good now.
Yeah.
And, I have two thoughts before we end this, or whatever else you want to say about this. One of which is, maybe it's only one, maybe I just consolidated this into one, but it's like, Tyler is incredibly talented. And what I want next is, like, his Dark Twisted Beautiful, my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like, I want, like, I think he is that talented to deliver some hip hop album that is, like, a generational.
Okay.
Production. Like, I honestly feel that way about him.
So, not to, like, I'm not trying to, like.
No, do it.
Do you mean, like, just, like, you want him to deliver, like, just whatever it may entail, like, a perfect album, or do you want him to deliver, like, something kind of more in the vein of, like, Dark Twisted Fantasy, where it's, like, completely, like, blown out and, like, maximalist and, like, stuffed with things?
The latter.
Okay.
The latter.
Okay.
I think he has the ability to deliver an album that is, like, so stuffed and threaded throughout, but is also personal, that has stuff to do with his own shit, that, like, you're gonna look back in 30 years and be like, holy shit, like, that album was, like, one of the greatest things I've ever listened to.
Okay.
And, like, I think he's that good.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want next, because, like, at this point, it's, like, he's had his, like, fun stage. He had his, like, these couple albums back-to-back are, like, oh, he's, like, maturing. These are, like, really, really good records. Well, I mean, Flower Boy is Grammy nominated. This is very good. Igor is very, very good. I don't think it's going to be Grammy nominated, just because it's, like, it's not as artistic, if you will.
Sure.
To be Grammy nominated, but it's, like, very good. But I want next is, like, I think I want that.
Okay.
And, like, based on what he's been through, like, I feel like he's got something cooking.
Yeah.
In the back. Or I want the ASAP Rocky, Tyler, the Creator, the collab.
Wang Sap.
Yeah. Like, I want either the greatest album that I've ever listened to in my entire life, or I want Wang Sap.
Yeah, let's watch that video after this.
All right, deal. let's go.
So,
that's what I want.
I have a quick question now. Yeah. So, my last note was, like, I know this might rub, like, it may have rubbed people some people the wrong way, but I really didn't mind, like, the general lack of rapping on this album. So now, like, when I say Tyler the Creator, like, do you think immediately, like, in your head, does that pop up rapper or just, like, musician? Or,
because
I think he's, like, to me, he's more of a musician now.
Yes. So to me, he is more of a musician, and I would even just say artist, because the way I think of him is, like, he writes shows for Netflix. He helps Bill Nye the Science Guy write, like, intro music. He does, like, cartoons. He has his own apparel line.
Dude, his shoes are.
Yeah, like, he's, like, all over the place. So for me, that's, like, he's just an artist. Like, he isn't any one thing. He's also a good musician, but he's also, like, a great writer, and he's a great fashion person. I don't know what you would call that person. But I'm interested to see how that kind of unfolds, though.
Because
he's doing a lot. Yeah. He's doing a lot currently, and I want to see, like, what happens in the next 2 years, because, like, that's hard for any one person to do, even if that's, like, the, you know, you got a team of, like, 30 guys, 30 girls helping you out. Like, that's the impossible task to, like, run 8 businesses at the same time. So, like, I'm interested to see how that unfolds.
I think of him and Pharrell.
Because
he always cited, when he was younger, Pharrell as his biggest influence. and you can hear it in the music, but now you can see it kind of.
Oh, yeah.
In other, like, Chris Farrell was part of BBC and had his like fingers and all this other stuff. Tyler, I don't think will ever be as good of a singer as Farrell, but so one of the more interesting running with that comparison, Farrell in an interview a while ago said, they said, all right, rapping, producing, singing, like, what's your favorite, like, kind of rank them. And producing was the first, singing was the second, and rapping was the last. And so I bet less and less rapping from Tyler as we go on.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. This album is very good. It's just like melodies, singing, bringing you through like this emotional state through every song. Like, it doesn't have to be portrayed through rap.
Mm-hmm.
And he delivers. It's very good. Yeah.
I think that's good.
I got nothing else.
Yeah.
All right.
We're well over 7 minutes. But...
yeah. All right. Thank you for listening. We're the Earbuds. Please subscribe on all channels. We'll be back in a couple days. We got a couple interviews coming up with Kingsley, who is a local rap or a local pop artist from Chicago. And then we got a fun interview coming up with a punk rock pop group from DC.
Mystery Friends.
Yeah, shout out us. Yeah, Mystery Friends. Thanks, I forgot to say the name of the band. So yeah, keep listening. Thanks.
Get your credit cards!